Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
He meets God, who is an African-American woman, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and the Holy Spirit, who is an Asian woman. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
New Agers want to be able to create religions that will make them feel good.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
Well, for some, the most comforting words that Jesus may have spoken, apart from showering us with the forgiveness of sins, do not be anxious about anything. Have no worries for tomorrow. I know they're intended to be comforting words, but if you're like me, you hear that, they don't comfort, at least not at first, because I'm full of anxiety and full of worry, and Jesus' words meet me only as one full of all of the things he says I shouldn't engage in. When he says, don't worry, I begin to worry that I'm worried. When he says, don't be anxious, I become more anxious because of my anxiety. We're going to talk about anxiety and the Christian here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. Live Wednesday, it's the 4th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. We'll talk with Pastor Todd Peppercorn about anxiety in the Christian in the first half hour. Then Greg, I'm skipping ahead. Not Greg Smith yet. Pastor Marcus Zill will join us for the second half hour. The means of grace will be the subject. We're talking there about baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper. Greg Smith will join us from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C., to talk about part of that landmark survey they took and some of the results as it pertains to African Americans and their religious affiliation. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest also in the second hour. A recent column by Ellen Goodman on family planning. She says there's pragmatism versus ideology. Is that true? And then finally, the conclusion of our five-part weekly series on bad ways to argue about abortion today, with Scott Klusendorf, disguising your true position by appealing to the so-called hard cases. That's the lineup for today's Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Todd, welcome back.
Great to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Jesus says, don't be anxious, don't worry. Is anxiety and worry a sin?
Well, certainly it can be. Worry, obviously, is related to faith and doubt. But a lot of times, I think we should replace another word and use another one, and that's the word fear. Because fear can help us to understand that this is something that's happening to the person. This isn't necessarily something that's kind of welling up as the result of unbelief and breaking the first commandment. How I would start with that. I think that we really have a pretty major misunderstanding oftentimes in Christianity when it comes to anxiety. We simply equate it with sin, and that becomes kind of our framework for looking at it, and a lot of bad places happen then.
Well, talk about, if you would, your own struggle with fear and anxiety.
Sure. I want to use one episode because it was really my introduction. There was a time when I believed with all my heart that I was having a heart attack. It was morning. I was on some medication that obviously my body didn't seem to like very much. My heart was racing. I was sweating. My hands were cold. Nothing that my wife said seemed to have make any rational sense to me. I was terrified. I was absolutely convinced that I was dying. And, of course, in typical male fashion, that meant that I drove myself to the doctor, and the doctor ran a whole barrage of tests, did an EKG, everything along those lines, and comes to tell me that I'm not having a heart attack. There's nothing wrong with my heart. But there was certainly something going on. And what was going on was that I was having a panic attack. I was suffering from a severe, almost instantaneous onslaught of anxiety. That was the beginning of kind of a long journey for me in trying to understand personally, but also trying to understand theologically, where does this come from? How am I as a Christian supposed to understand what it means when I am afraid to go out my front door, when I'm afraid to talk to other people, when I obsess or worry incessantly about the littlest things that most people would look at as laughable and sort of blow these tiny little things. What happens if the teapot overflows and water ends up all over the floor? I mean, you know, little things that in and of themselves are little become huge in this mind. So that's really kind of where I came down on this. And my approach to this is, first of all, as a fellow sufferer, but also as a pastor, as someone who deals and tries to serve my parishioners every day, every week, who suffer from anxiety and from kind of a whole host of related things. You hear a lot of these terms float around: obsessive compulsive disorder, which is usually connected to anxiety. Depression, which is obviously a whole other matter, but is also closely related. And as a pastor, I've tried to kind of get a grip on these things and understand them from a medical point of view as much as I can, but also from a theological point of view as a Christian. That's really why I'm here.
I have to imagine that it didn't all snap into place for you just because you're trained to be and called to be a pastor. I imagine if I were in your shoes, Todd, and I were to have an anxiety attack and then kind of put the pieces together with the other manifestations of anxiety in my life, I would be at a complete loss to determine what to do next. Was that your situation?
It was. And that's really what happens. I think a part of that is sort of culturally conditioned. We're conditioned, and I think this is sort of a part of our American mindset, we're conditioned to believe that I can just sort of deal with everything myself, I can figure everything out myself. It's sort of a glorified two-year-old syndrome. And, of course, add to that the sort of basic male mindset that I should be able to conquer everything. What that put me in was really kind of a mental impasse where I was stuck. I knew that this didn't make sense. I knew that these little things that were absolutely driving me up the wall, so that I was literally terrified to leave my bed in the morning. I knew that these things, that this didn't make sense, that this wasn't right. And I also knew, you know, don't worry, don't be anxious about nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. That verse from Philippians 4, kind of bantering around in your head, is telling me, well, I shouldn't be anxious. What's my problem? So it took me a long time, a couple years at least, to really start to get a grip on the fact that we're dealing with really two different ways of talking about anxiety. One is a medical way of talking about anxiety, and then the other is spiritual anxiety. And I think that as a Christian, we need to get a grip on what those two things are to begin with.
Okay, then let's make the distinction. We've got about a minute and a half or so before our first break, Todd. How would you draw a bright line between this condition in its biological medical aspects and this condition as one would approach it spiritually, that is from a pastoral and a biblical perspective? About a minute and a half.
Well, first of all, when we talk about anxiety as a medical condition, there are a, a bunch of different things that sort of fit under that umbrella. You have phobias, you know, fear, what most people know the fear of being in closed places, claustrophobia, but you can have fear of crowds, lots of different things. Panic disorders, which is sort of what I just described. Generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, which is where you'll take a certain behavior or series of behaviors, and you'll use those to kind of try to control your environment because your environment you feel like is controlling you. And then there are others, post-traumatic stress disorder and all of these things that we hear about from our, especially from men and women who've served in the military. These are real biological, physiological disorders. This isn't just in your head, if I can use that phrase. And that those biological things, there's genetic dispositions. It involves various chemical imbalances in the brain. There are behavioral changes that can happen because of those physiological changes that can make it so that I'm looking at things in a far more negative fashion, for instance, than I may normally look at them. And on top of that, there can be a trauma, some sort of massive event that can kind of reshape how you think about the world, how you think about yourself and where you fit into it. So all of those things fit into kind of a medical definition of anxiety.
Well, let's take the spiritual after the break. When we come back, I want to talk about how the two relate to one another and how we really can't ignore one or the other aspect of anxiety and worry and fear in our lives as Christians. They go together. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We're talking about anxiety in the Christian this Wednesday, February the 4th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Depression, the Silent Epidemic, is the title of a seminar Tuesday evening, February the 10th, at the Wisconsin Room at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Beverly Yonke is the presenter. Learn how to spot signs of depression in yourself and how to help others who are suffering, deeply hurting, or depressed. Find out more about Depression, the Silent Epidemic, at www.lmcusc.org or by calling 414-332-5732.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Emmett Bosshammer, Pastor Charlie Ravalongito, Kevin Smiley, Rebecca Ferber, Deaconess Grace Brager, Jeremy Frim, Herb Gerstenberger, Joe Dapolo, Angela Bennett, and Thomas Peach. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about anxiety in the Christian. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. As with subjects that range in this direction, we usually have no problem taking an anonymous call or an email. Respect your anonymity. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. You talked a bit about the biological, the physical side of the anxiety problem that is a, kind of a, the general disorder. Talk, if you would, about the spiritual side too, Todd.
Okay. When we talk about anxiety from a biblical point of view, usually we're talking about the word is merimna in Greek. It's usually translated either anxiety or care or worry. There are a couple passages, I think, that usually come to people's mind when we deal with that. The most common is from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" He goes on, basically, to say God is going to take care of everything in the world, from the littlest to the greatest, and he is going to take care of you. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? Your Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you." What Jesus is getting at there is he's almost using anxiety in that case as a synonym for unbelief or doubt, perhaps. And we can understand that. Fear, anxiety, worry, all of these things flow out of the fact that we're fallen human beings. We're sinners. We struggle with understanding how all of these things are going to come to pass. And so we doubt and we wonder. And that's where the spiritual condition, that's where the spiritual question comes in. Now, what's the solution? I guess that's really the question for the Christian. The solution for doubt and unbelief is always faith. It's always the gospel. Verses like Romans 8 come to mind. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" So when we talk about the spiritual state of anxiety or worry or doubt, the answer is the forgiveness of sins, is word and sacraments that only Christ gives.
Is part of the challenge of this, both as the sufferer and as the loved one or the pastor who's trying to help, being able to distinguish when the need really is physical and when the need is spiritual, or how the mixture of the two should be applied?
That is the magical challenge in my mind. As a sufferer and as a pastor, I, of course, can't just sort of... I don't slice along physical and spiritual lines so easily. When my mind is playing tricks on me, when I have a panic attack, that's physiological, but it also is attacking my faith, and so I have doubts. So sort of where do I go to try and find answers for these things? We're not Gnostics. We don't believe that these things are unconnected. And I think that that's really part of where Christians often really struggle with things like anxiety or any kind of mental illness, for that matter, is that we don't want to recognize the fact that yes, some of it is spiritual, but a lot of it may not be spiritual. It may simply be a chemical imbalance in your brain, the way that your mind is interacting with stress, with circumstances around you, traumas that have happened in your life. All of these things come into play. And that's the trick, is how do we really grapple with the fact that both of these are going on at the exact same time?
Do you have to deal with the physical often before dealing with the spiritual? I'm thinking, this is a terrible analogy, but please bear with me, Todd.
Sure.
If a parishioner's drunk and they show up at your front door, before you do any kind of serious spiritual care, you're going to want them to sober up and get a couple cups of coffee in them and be in a proper frame of mind. Dealing with the physical before you deal with the spiritual aspect of this, is that often the case when it comes to depression and anxiety?
Well, a lot of times it is. I don't think that I would say always, because it's not quite so obvious as if someone were drunk, or let's say that someone broke their leg while they were doing something they weren't supposed to. Sometimes you simply have to you have to deal with the physiological things first. If they're sick, they need to be well. If someone's deaf, they need to be able to hear, and the like. So, yeah, there's definitely an aspect of that. But a part of the thing with anxiety, and I think this is also true with depression, is that this isn't usually a one-time shot. This is usually something that happens over and over and over again. It can creep up on a person so that they turn around and they don't even recognize themselves because it's so foreign to them. So, yeah, that's it. But as a pastor, that I find is really the challenge because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a counselor. I can't go prescribe a beta blocker or give someone Valium or Xanax or some other medication to help them address their anxiety. All I can do is point them to the gospel and know when I'm out of my league.
What can you do, a fellow Christian, a pastor, for someone who is suffering from anxiety?
There are a couple very, very obvious things. First of all, pray for them. We're talking about fear, and I think that at some level, everyone understands fear. And so praying for someone, telling them that you're praying for them, that you recognize that this is going on, can be tremendously helpful and comforting to that person, just so that they know that you don't think that they're crazy, that this is something that's really happening to them and it's real. Another concrete thing you can do is don't belittle this as simply something that it's all in your head. I don't know how many times I've heard variations on that theme. Something else very obvious is talk to them. Be a friend. Be available and help them when they're, especially if you're talking about a panic attack or something like that, it's a terrifying thing to go through. And simply to have somebody there available that they know is not going to mock them or make fun of them can be tremendously helpful. I would try and point them to some scripture passages that are very concrete that talk about God's presence with his people. A couple of verses that really come to mind for me are Isaiah 43, I've called you by name, you are mine, very baptismal language. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, you know, a mighty fortress sort of talk. Even Romans 8, many of these passages that really point to the comfort of the gospel and that no matter what may be happening in this person's life, God has not abandoned them, that God will see them through it, that this will come.
This email comes from a listener. My wife suffered from anxiety attacks. These started about 6 months ago. We don't know what caused them, but we did have a major life change with our interstate move. She has had a panic attacks where she couldn't move. She's receiving medical treatment, but is this the only option? Where does faith come into the equation, or does faith come into the equation at all? For myself, I've been disheartened that perhaps my desire to relocate may have brought on the condition she's now experiencing. Your best pastoral thoughts there with only about a minute and a half, Pastor Peppercorn.
I think where I would start is simply being honest and recognizing it is possible that a major move like that may have been contributing. But in all likelihood, that wasn't it. This is probably something that was brewing anyways, and that simply acted as the trigger. If you're seeking medical care, then you're doing the right thing. It's possible that it may be that counseling might be a good option. But this is also something that would be very, very important to pray about. One of the books that I often refer people to is this wonderful little book called Visitation that Concordia Publishing House put out maybe a year or two ago. It has a great devotion section and some prayers connected with anxiety. So I think I would lead to that. I would certainly lead them to conversations with their own pastor about how to find hope and trust and recognize that these things may come, but that God is greater than them.
By the way, we have a link posted under the on-demand section of our website to this resource that Pastor Peppercorn just mentioned, Visitation. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You can also call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325 3040. We also have some resources posted there that you might find helpful on the subject of anxiety and depression. Issuesetc.org, click on demand. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Thank you for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, when we come back from this break, Pastor Marcus Zill will be our guest. We're going to be talking about the means of grace. Where is Jesus to be found? It's a simple question. A lot of people would say, well, Jesus is in heaven. He's kind of the long-distance Savior. We may make a long-distance call to him, and he may phone it in to us, but he's only phoning it in. He can't really be found anywhere. Oh, yeah, he's everywhere, but that's kind of like the air. Air is everywhere, too, and kind of nowhere at the same time. Is that what the Bible teaches about where we can find Jesus no matter where we are? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break, round off hour one of Issues, etc. Then it's hour two. Greg Smith will join us from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. We'll talk about a new survey on African Americans and religion. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. We'll discuss Ellen Goodman's column where she says ideology and pragmatism are fighting it out on the issue of life. And then Scott Klusendorf will be with us to conclude our series on bad ways to argue about abortion. We'll talk about appealing to the hard cases. Stay tuned.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you thought Sleeping Beauty was only a fairy tale, listen to this. Emma Ray suffered a heart attack days after giving birth to her son by cesarean. Doctors were able to restart her heart, but Emma remained in a coma. Her husband, Andrew, spent 2 weeks next to her bed, waiting for her to wake up. Then one day, he leaned over and asked her for a kiss. To his amazement, Emma turned her head and puckered her lips. That's one kiss Andrew will never forget. Recovery has been a long road. Emma suffered from short-term memory loss, but she can walk quite well while holding Andrew's hand. And the two children have their mom back. Thankfully, this is one story with a fairy tale ending, and Emma sees Andrew as her Prince Charming.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Audrey Cook, Pastor Dennis Uletti, Donna Schwiesau, Kevin Graham, Rebecca Bangert, Rick Durham, Rebecca Meisner, Pam Vogt, William Stottlemyre, and Philip Ristvet. Thanks for your support.